Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. This is the word of the Lord. On a Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. This is the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. On a Sabbath day, Jesus was invited to the house of a ruler of the Pharisees to eat with him at his table. Jesus was one who not only showed hospitality, but was one willing to receive hospitality. He was even willing to receive from those with whom he disagreed, from those who were his enemies. We don't want to overlook that. We don't want to neglect that. When we think of the burden of hospitality, we most readily think of the burden of showing hospitality. But we don't often think of the burden of receiving hospitality. But we are called to do both. Not only to show it, but also to receive it. Some of you young men look eager to receive it. But would you be eager to receive it from someone with whom you disagreed? From someone by whom you are exhausted? From someone who is even your enemy? Would it be easy? Would it be pleasant? And yet Jesus did it. And you are called to be like him. He was a generous host, but he was also a gracious guest. And so you also are to show hospitality to others, but you are also to be willing to receive hospitality from others. On this Sabbath day, Jesus was a guest, having been invited to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. And he accepts this invitation. But surely it was not easy to do so. For we ought not to think that this ruler of the Pharisees had Jesus' interests at heart. We ought not to think that he only desired to show great hospitality to the Lord. This man opened his home to Jesus, not to bless him, but to trap him. Not to support him, but to hinder him. To be a stumbling block to him. As we saw in the previous passage, in Luke chapter 13, verse 41, those Pharisees which came to Jesus saying to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." We saw there that they did not desire to spare Jesus' life, but rather they desired to be spared of his message. For they did not like his preaching. For he called them to repentance. And they did not want to repent. They preferred to hear what was false. So long as it did not require anything of them. They preferred the darkness to the light. They preferred the itching of their ears to the piercing of their hearts. And so it is with those who will not endure sound teaching. They accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And so it was with the Pharisees. They were threatened by Jesus. And rather than humble themselves before him so as to be lifted up by him, they set themselves against him. They set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. They refused to say of him, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." the end of verse 1, we see the true intent of this act of hospitality. They were watching him carefully. This is one of three times in Luke's gospel where this word is used, where Jesus is watched carefully. And both of the other times, in both of those places, the malicious intent of this careful watching is made explicit. Luke chapter 6, verse 7, where the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find a reason to accuse him. In Luke chapter 20, verse 20, where the scribes and chief priests watched him carefully and sent spies who pretended to be sincere that they might catch him in something he said so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. They did not only want to discredit him, they wanted to destroy him. And still Jesus accepted the invitation. And became a guest in their house. Not out of politeness, but in order to bear witness. In order to bear witness to the truth of who he was and of what he had come to do. And that opportunity arises in verse 2. For behold, look, there was a man before him who had dropsy. Now I had to look up what dropsy is. And apparently it is an archaic word for edema. So I had to look up what edema is. And apparently it is a swelling in the skin. A swelling in the skin and tissue involving bodily fluid. Now when I say swelling and bodily fluid, the first thought that comes to your mind should be Leviticus. Dropsy is not mentioned in the Old Testament. But in Leviticus chapter 13, among those conditions that rendered a person unclean was swelling in the skin. And so while not identical to what we see in Leviticus chapter 13, this man in Luke chapter 14 certainly resembles someone in Leviticus chapter 13. Someone who would have been unclean. Someone who would not have been permitted to approach the house of God. Someone who would not have been permitted to draw near to the temple of the Lord. Not permitted to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The man appears before Jesus And the Pharisees were watching him closely. Before Jesus is a man in need of healing. Before Jesus is a man in need of relief. But it was a Sabbath day. The man's life was not in danger. He could have waited to be healed on another day. Yet he stands before Jesus now. While the Pharisees watch him closely. Wondering if Jesus would heal him even though it is the Sabbath. And Jesus will heal him. But not in spite of its being the Sabbath. But rather because it is the Sabbath. The man standing before him is in need of rest. And it was the Sabbath day. Jesus will heal the man in order to fulfill the Sabbath day. Jesus responds to the careful watching of the Pharisees by asking a question: Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they were silent. Jesus answers the question by healing the man. And sending him away. And then he speaks to them again. And asks them, which of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out? And still they were silent. They were unable to answer. But they again failed to understand what the Sabbath was for. The Sabbath is a day to enjoy rest. The Sabbath is a day to give rest. To enjoy rest for ourselves and to give rest to others. Not a single one of them would have waited to rescue their son or their ox from a well on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a day for deliverance. a day of salvation, a day of rejoicing. A day for resting. A day for one's son. A day for even one's ox to enjoy rest. And so it would not have been an exception to the Sabbath command to deliver one's son or one's ox from harm, but rather it would have been in fulfillment of the Sabbath command to give one's son or one's ox rest. It takes work to give your children rest. It takes work to bring your children to the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day. Is that a violation of the fourth commandment? No, that is the fulfillment of the fourth commandment. And so, how much more was it a fulfillment for Jesus to heal this man? That the man need not wait for another Sabbath day where he might enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That he might enjoy the rest of the Sabbath day. And all of the Sabbath disputes the one in Luke chapter 14 is unique in the comparison that Jesus makes. In Luke chapter 14, and in Luke chapter 14 alone, Jesus compares the one to be healed to a son. And comparing the man to a son, he is not only comparing him to a son, but he is identifying the man as a son. As a son of the Father. As a son of God. And if an earthly father is not willing for his son to suffer on the Sabbath day, how much less is the heavenly Father willing for his son to suffer on the Sabbath day? If an earthly father is eager to deliver his son on the Sabbath day, how much more eager will the Lord be to deliver his children from harm and give them rest in his presence on the Sabbath day? And you are his sons. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Jesus identifies this man as a son. Even as he identifies you as sons. But consider what it required. Consider what it cost. In Luke chapter 23, it will be on a Sabbath day. That Jesus himself, God's beloved Son, will lie in the grave. But God will not immediately raise him. Leaves him there that he might taste death for us and our salvation. That he might deliver us from sin and death. He might give us rest. At the man's healing, in response to Jesus' question, the Pharisees ought to have replied, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But they were silent. May you not be silent. May you enter his gates with thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. And from the house of the Lord, may you bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be his name. Amen. Let us pray.